Talking landscape photography with Kristen Fletcher and Cowan.
Check out our website, lightminded.com.au.
I tell you what, I love that lady's voice, lightminded.com.au. I'll tell you what, if you go over there and check our website out, there's a bit there that says free Lightroom presets. What you do is you click on that, and there's actually 16 free Lightroom presets, and there are some corkers in there too. In fact, there's one from a guy, his name is Tom Putt, actually, and it's called Aerial Awesomeness, and that's actually a very good preset. Also, too, make sure you check out our Instagram. So get over to Instagram and do a search for Light-Minded Podcast. And the reason I mention that, Fletch, is have you been watching our Instagram during the week at all?
No, mate. No, I've been watching TV.
Mate, because it's finally happened. Jade Photography, that's JID Photography Australia, has commented, "Hey, guys, I just listened to this podcast." I think that was the thing with Dr. Les Walkling. "Hey, guys, I just listened to this podcast. Once again, late." Mate, we've all been there. "But I had a look at your website. It's really nice, and I'm jealous." And he also said, "What I like about it most are the two models on there."
Hey.
And
hey,
that would be us. So, mate, we're hot.
Far out, sexy boys.
Yep, that's... Hey? Yeah. That's us, mate.
Speaking now, of sexy boys.
Now, it's not all about us today. We've got a gentleman joining us on the podcast. American Photo Magazine listed him as one of the top 10 wedding photographers in the world. That's worldwide. The BBC placed him in the top 5 masters of wedding photography. In Australia, he was the youngest photographer ever to be awarded the title Grand Master by the Australian Institute of Photography. And his ape. He was also honoured with a fellowship by the Master Photographers Association, MPA, in the United Kingdom. I'm actually running out of breath here. Crikey. He was granted his Master's with Wedding and Portrait Photographers International in the United States. Marcus Bell has also been named Australian Wedding Photographer of the Year 3 times. And his international awards include the highly coveted Grand Award for Photojournalism at the WWPI Awards in the United States. Like, seriously, like, where did the accolades actually finish? And he's also nominated in the prestigious International Wedding Print of the Year at the Prix de la Photographie in Paris. Marcus Bell, welcome to Light Minded. Mate, is there anything we missed out? Anything you haven't done?
Oh, I think, you know, that merit certificate from my mum that...
hardest trier.
Yeah, the hardest trier award. The awards here. So it's a nice accolade to have. But funny enough, I think what inspired me to be part of the AIPP initially was really about pushing my own self. And that's what I found. Like, you know, I do encourage people to, you know, get involved in the award system and putting yourself out there. I think it's probably the hardest thing to do as a photographer. It's pretty daunting, like that you put yourself out there. And obviously now, like, you know, with places like Instagram and, you know, Facebook and even TikTok, you know, you've got all these vehicles to put yourself out there. And, you know, it's one of those things, I think, as creatives that we, you know, need to overcome and encourage everyone to do that.
Yeah. Hey, mate, Christian here. How are you? Good to have you on.
Oh, thank you guys for having me on. This is unreal.
Pleasure.
Ah, mate, it's a pleasure. I've been a fan of your work for forever. Actually, I think I actually bought some of your texture presets that you had, kits, sets, or whatever you'd call them, way back when. And I think that was when I first started out in the AIPP, and I was looking for some really cool textures and to use, and of course yours were there. And I remember, so, you know, you've been influencing photographers, you know, across the country and across the world for forever. I read on your website, and I was quite sad to hear that you lost your dad early in your life, and he was a keen photographer. So how did that influence you?
It's probably been the greatest influence, really. And I didn't realize how much of an influence it would have and continue to have. I mean, I think in life, it's all these learning experiences that I guess ends up shaping who you are as a person. And what I realize is that's how, you know, you get shaped as a photographer, is like reflecting on who you are and how you see the world and, you know, sharing that with other people. So from that side of thing, you know, it's been a like an amazing gift. Like, not that I wish it upon anyone, but you know, like I think in everything you've got to see also the positives. And so I think that's been like a big thing about my photography. It's certainly been an incredible thing for wedding photography, really to, I guess, you know, step in to the couple's shoes, but also, you know, letting them step in my shoes and see the world from my side of things. Because sometimes I think that there is these incredible moments between people and I don't realize how special they are till, you know, someone's gone or they're not around anymore. So for me, being able to identify that and capture that, I think that's what I really get to enjoy on a wedding day. Is and also it's, sometimes it's actually I actually get to experience moments in life through my clients that I would never get to, you know, experience myself because my dad's not around. And through that, then, like, you know, I'm able to give them that gift, I guess, you know, of those images, of those connections with the people that are really dear to them.
That's amazing, isn't it, these influences that we get, and how just one thing can change your whole future and what you're gonna, you know, I'm talking to my son at the moment. He's, you know, year 11, and you know, just those little things. I just need that little spark that starts something in you, and then you go on to something better or bigger or something new. And yeah, it's pretty. I mean, it's a hard way to get that influence, I guess. But So, go on.
Yeah, but what's really good, I think, you know, you mentioned that and about our children, and I think that's what I learned too, is that, you know, on the complete other side, it's been, you know, the birth of my three boys and experiencing those aspects and those incredible aspects has also helped me, you know, see the world. So what I guess, like, what that led me into, you know, from my dad was also, you know, the positive sides that have happened in my life that have really shaped who I am too. And so it would really sort of like opened up a whole new world for me. Which has been really good.
Can I ask you, can you take us back to the day when you first picked up the camera, Marcus?
It's so funny because when I first picked up the camera, it was actually because I had this amazing, beautiful teacher who said, does anyone want to learn photography? And me and a couple of the other boys said, put our hands up. Yeah, sure, we could do that. And so it was actually a crush on a teacher that like got me into initially picking up the camera.
No, we've all been there, mate.
So obviously that was never going to go anywhere. And so I put down the camera, looked for girls, you know, my own age, so totally got distracted. So photography wasn't important, or picking up the camera. But it was probably about 4 or 5 years later, after my dad's death, that once I was working and feeling a little bit lost, that like I found, I guess, a desire to reconnect. And as soon as I picked up that camera, something magical happened. You know, all of a sudden, like it was this calling that I was meant to, you know, do this. And then it was from there about trying to work out ways, well, how could I do it? How could I go ahead and, you know, become a photographer and sort of. And then I was very fortunate, actually, to come across this incredible photographer, Doug Spout, and his mum, Ruby Spout, and also his partner, Vicky Cooper, that end up, I guess, taking me under their wing, and they saw something in me. And so I was doing a few part-time courses with them, and that sort of grew. And I guess as a photographer, I didn't realize at the time, but I was very fast-tracked in my education. And I was never really taught how to just sort of do a standard print. I was always taught how to, you know, really communicate a story within a print in the darkroom. And so, you know, it was one of the blessings that I think that has happened to me over through my photography career that has led me to where I am today.
Yeah. And so can you remember a time when you, you know, that first photograph that you were actually happy with, or is that, or you're still trying to find that photo that makes you really happy? Have you found
one? Well, I think, like, you know, most photographers, we don't know what we're taking, if it is a good or not. And funny enough, like, you know, Doug isn't one to, you know, heap a praise on people as well. So I still, you know, didn't know. But you know, one day Vicky, you know, pulled me aside, and because I said, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm, you know, making the right choices, or am I going okay? And she just quietly said, look, well, Doug wouldn't be, you know, continuing to help you. You know, further you, if he didn't believe in you, you know, and not that he's one to, you know, sort of, like I said, like, he preys on people. And I think that was really, really nice for me. You know, it sort of gave me, you know, that little bit of belief in myself. You know, and over, even now, like, you know, I think as photographers, it's a, you know, probably finding belief in what you're doing is really difficult, as the creative artist. And, you know, as a creative person, and so sometimes it's nice to, you know, get that, you know, little boost,
feedback, and a bit of a pat on the back sometimes, I guess. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I had the same experience when I met Peter Eastway, and he actually knew who I was. I was like, oh my God, Peter Eastway knows who I am. Now I'm just trying to forget. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
Mate, look, back then it was, you know, I'm assumptioning. Please don't use that word in Scrabble anytime soon. That it was that it was all film, and you were you processing your own stuff, or did you use a lab?
Yeah, no, all my own black and white. I was processing. Color was a little bit too complicated for me. But it was actually, you know what? What I didn't understand about color is, like, how you could do the same thing with a black and white print, and I think that's what was amazing. What Doug Spout taught me is that, you know, using your hands to really light and darken, you know, dodge and burn, and really communicate that story. And I didn't know how to do that, you know, in color, you know, film until digital came around. And it was really, what was really cool is what I learned in the dark room. Is that I was able to apply in Photoshop straight away. So it really, that's what I, when I loved that transition.
Yeah.
That it was perfect for me to do it.
Yeah. Actually, that was what I was going to ask you when you started using Photoshop. You know, what was there?
Yeah, you know, funny enough, it's amazing how things have just gone complete circles. Is that in Photoshop, like when it first came out, and when I was first using it, like there were so many limitations that I didn't realize. And what we would do as photographers is come up with creative ways. So, and also sometimes like my images were a bit soft and I had to sharpen them up. And the best way to do that was actually to draw on the image and draw back in that detail. Interestingly, like I've been, you know, the last few months really, I guess, becoming a student of photography again, and realizing that some of the things that we were doing back, you know, like 20 years ago, are so relevant now. And it's just because things advanced. It took us in a slightly different direction because in our mind is that the cameras have improved and things like that. But I've actually been working, you know, with Dr. Les Walkling a fair bit with Rocco and really like learning the craft again of really communicating. And we're talking about, you know, learning about three dimensionality in a two dimensional space and how when we were drawing back 20 years ago, it was really giving us a 3D punch because we were able to, you know, do that. So I've been invigorated by all of this knowledge and putting back skills, what I knew. And I think, I don't know, like me and Rocco have been talking about it where, you know, somewhere along the lines, you know, it feels like we got so super busy. We went down a different track, you know, working in Lightroom and not using Photoshop as much anymore.
Yeah.
But as a result, we realized that we've a whole lot of the creativity of that tool that was giving us is not, we haven't been using it. And so, so both of us have been really exploring that again, and it's been incredible for our work but more and so I think our creativity really asking ourselves questions of, you know, what is it that we want to share with people and share with the images, and how can we take our images so much further than we've ever taken them before. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting you should say that, because I've basically gone through the same thing myself. I you know, got busy, and I'd never sort of really pursued my my photos as well as I probably could have or should have, you know, and I was getting stuck into the same thing, doing the same things over and over and over. And it's, you just need someone like Les to sort of reinvigorate your thinking about how you edit, and just realizing that there are these extra tools, and it does make you go, oh, okay, yes, I'm going to go back and concentrate on that a little bit more. And I think Tony Hewitt's the perfect example of someone who works their images to a degree further than most people, and that's probably why he wins so many awards and competitions, and his prints look so amazing, is because he just, you know, you talk about drawing on the image, and you know, Tony does that so well, you know, mm-hmm. he's always just finessing that fine detail. But yeah, it's really interesting to hear that you and Rocco are going down that same thing.
I just want to say, Fletcher, the thing with Tony is he's right into pre-visualization as well, so even before he mm-hmm. does a shoot, he's got an idea of you know, what he's going to achieve in his mind. So he's, you know, he sort of walks through, like, he knows exactly what's going to happen. And this is actually, Marcus, I just wanted to ask you, I'm looking at your shots now, and you know, they're wedding shots, and they've got like a real ethereal sort of quality. So most people on the street would look at those and go, you know, look, okay, they're amazing photos. But we as photographers know that you're dealing with complete amateurs here that probably have no idea of what they're doing. They've maybe never had professional photos done before in their life. How do you get your clients into this mindset? Like, how do you do it? How do you set up for a shoot?
Well, I think that's what's really important about it, is actually to allow them to be themselves, and because that they're not professional models, so we shouldn't treat them as such. You know, I think what's really important with photography, especially wedding photography, that it really needs to be, you know, authentic. And too often, like, I feel that photographers can, put a little bit of themselves into the shot, where I think true wedding photography, it's all really about who they are. And so if we can allow them to be, you know, authentic, I think that's the key to a successful image, especially from the client's, you know, perspective. And that's, you know, who's paying you to be there and to get the shot. So saying that, how you do that is that, you know, often that we're looking for direction, you know, in life, you know, waiting for someone to tell us what to do. But as soon as someone doesn't tell us what to do, you know, we somehow, you know, step up and make the decision ourselves and know where to go. And it's the same in being in that situation with the client. Sometimes it's more powerful what you're not saying than what to say. So if you actually don't say anything, they will actually work it out themselves and, you know, walk, you know, through the field. I mean, I don't mind giving them a little bit of guidance, and, you know, because I've sort of pre-scouted a location, or everything's coming together, the light. And so what I might say to the couple, okay, look, why don't you start here and then just head over that way, and I'll point over to, you know, the direction that I know, and then I'll run, get into position. And effectively, because there's some distance between us, effectively they're going to just sort of be just talking naturally and start engaging. And as soon as they start engaging, they forget about who I am. They forget about they're actually getting photographed. Then you're really capturing, you know, their personality and their moment. And that's what's important. It's not my moment. It's actually their moment that they're going to do. I've already done all the hard things, thinking about composition, lighting, you know, the direction, and sort of gave them a rough idea of where to direct. Occasionally, like, you know, I want to see a little bit more connection, so I might just sort of like yell out, oh, you know, why don't you grab her hand? You know what I mean? And then he'll often, you know, use the wrong arm or hand. And then I'll say, you know, let's try the other hand, you know.
You guys are supposed to be in love. This should be natural.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing, is that I generally talk softly. And so I don't have a voice where I'm sort of, you know, sounding annoyed or anything like that. Is that, and I think that's really important, is that, like, I'm sort of guiding and just sort of, rather than sort of telling.
Hey, you're a wedding photographer, but you're also, you shoot landscapes, And I used to do workshops with Nick Raines, and in one of his presentations, he would do a series of images, and he would talk about those images and those photographers. And one of them was always one of yours, because our workshops were all about landscapes, but he would put in, say, this is a landscape photograph, but Marcus Bell does it with a couple in there. That's something that you have probably the first one doing that sort of thing that I know. So where did that idea come from to actually go, okay, I'm going to put these people out into a landscape photograph? Because it's something that you're more likely to hang on your wall as opposed to a close-up of your face. So was that an original idea that you came up with?
Yeah, it was. I have a great admiration for all of you guys. You guys are incredible creatives and photographers and incredible at capturing the landscapes. And that's where I was heading, you know, like I wanted to be that way. But when I was looking at my images, like there was nothing grabbing me, like, you know, and I was always told about having a center of interest and things like that. So I guess I cheated, you know, because by having the couple in the landscape, that was my center of interest. So, so here I was looking at all my images and with no one in them, you know, because I had nothing defining. I didn't, you know, had the foresight of that incredible tree or that, you know, that incredible rock that sort of gave this grayness to the rest of the image or a point or a reason. So it was an easy way out. But in all honesty, too, it was probably really just combining the two passions. This is probably a good point, is that, again, it was another pivotal moment where I went to this seminar of Dennis Montebelli and Gay Campbell, two incredible, commercial photographers, and I sat through their presentation and I went naively up to them afterwards in awe of them and said, when do you get time to do all the things like the photography that you love? Because I guess back then I was doing the weddings more for, I enjoyed it, but I was doing it more for business. But my passion still lied with landscape photography.
Yeah.
And they looked at me blankly and going, what sort of drugs are you on? and so I asked the question again, and they sort of maybe got an understanding of what I was talking about anyway. And they just said, what do you mean? Everything that we've shown today is that's our passion. That's what we love to photograph. And it was actually, I guess it was my parents never taught me that you could earn money doing something that you loved. I guess I never got the opportunity to get that talk. I never had in the mindset that you could actually do something that you absolutely loved and get paid well for it. And so I had to just rethink everything that I was doing. And so what I found is, I said, if I want to continue with weddings, I had to find the passion in it and love it as much as I did with my landscapes. And I think that's where the idea stems from, was just sort of, why don't I, you know, start incorporating the two and vice versa. Now, funny enough, what I've learned in wedding photography helps me in the landscape area and field now. So because now I can start to identify a center of interest. It's like I'm looking for my imaginary bride and groom in my landscapes and wanting to tell a story, through those. So, so that's how that all really came about.
And look, the other parts of the other facets of your life too, is you've got a best-selling book for wedding photographers. You also do Lightroom presets as well.
Yeah, I still do the.
Do you want to do one for us so we can put it on our website?
Well, I think definitely. It's funny because I've probably got hundreds and hundreds that I've done through the studio and for myself, I'm going to put a collection together, but never get around to it. So there's hundreds there that I've never shared, and also went ahead and learned all these new ways of with the camera profiles and creating LUTs and to be able to incorporate into a preset, which is a whole another incredible way. One of the big things, I guess how that all started is that me and Adam at the studio, we would, because we've got a passion for photography. We also a great, you know, successful studio and always busy, is that we always wanted to give out the best to our clients, but also find ways to, you know, speedy the whole workflow process up. So that's the way presets really sort of came about for us, is that, you know, working out ways. And it's sort of like where I was saying before about like the difference between Lightroom and Photoshop, is that I would work out different ways to get 80% there, you know, in Lightroom, and which is sort of probably like, you know, compared to someone else doing their photos for their clients, could be, you know, like a vastly different, you know, as well. So it's sort of what I find is that there's a whole nother process to photography, not just sort of clicking the button. It's it's really about communicating that in and presets, you know, do help do that. And now I guess, you know, sort of untapping all these really exciting things in Photoshop now that have always been there, but you know, that now understanding them better, is that like it's incredible what you can do.
Well, look, Marcus, if you would be kind enough to give us one of your presets, we'll put it on our website and we'll make that available for our listeners in the next week or so. That'd be awesome, mate.
It doesn't have to be your best one, mate. It's just got to be better than one of Carwin's. He's got,
ones there
that turn a phase one shot into a 5D shot. So,
excellent.
He's got some rippers. I haven't put any up yet because I don't know how to do them personally. But that's, you know, I've got to speak to Les. Actually, it's interesting you talk about LUTs because I'm doing the workshop with the 3D LUT creator workshop with Les later this month. So, you know, I think everyone seems to go to Les to learn a little bit more about what's possible, you know.
I think like anyone listening, you know, if they really want to, you know, improve that side of their photography, you know, Les is a really great resource to do so. And it's a great investment just sort of, you know, spending a Sunday, you know, doing one of his courses. And, you know, I probably do a few a year, and I've been doing it 20 years and still go back.
You know, think about Les is, like, he's just such a, you know, just such a humble, such a patient guy as well. That's what I find.
Is. Yeah, he's and he can speak to anyone's level. You know, he's such an academic, and he's so far ahead of just about anyone in the game. But he can relate to, you know, imbeciles like Carmen and I. So it's great.
And myself.
So. Yeah, we got a leap pass. Hey, mate, you established your business Studio Impressions 22 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you find that, because do people, how do they find your name? Like, I'm just like, since some people will say, you know, I'm, you know, Christian Fletcher Gallery, I'm not Studio Impressions Gallery. Do you find that calling your business Studio Impressions, is that a good or bad thing?
I don't know. Like, well, the idea was, when I first started, I didn't want it to ever be about myself. So, and having a team, you know, like of fellow minor creatives is fantastic for so long. Now, you know, and it worked incredibly for so long as well. So, but the last few years, like, you know, the industry has just changed so dramatically. So it really where people are excelling is as a under a solo brand. You know, as a name. And I think that's what we ended up finding is that overseas, like, no one really knew who Studio Impressions were, but they knew who Marcus Bell was. So in Australia, it was sort of it was really cool when we would do seminars. Some people go, oh, you know, I want to really go see Studio Impressions, and then they didn't realize it was Marcus Bell because, you know, effectively there was a team of eight other people associated with that. So, so that's been fantastic. So, it's been for me like an incredible experience of being able to work with like-minded people and having people that we're with a collective vision and ideas. But, you know, but then things have changed so much that, you know, we're more now, it's just me. And then occasionally we'll get like an additional shooter in, you know, but, you know, that's the same with, you know, with the photography industry, like I said, it's just gone through so many changes, and it's been a hell of a ride. And I think that's what's cool about it, is that, you know, it's never been in one sort of lane. You know, you've always had to, you know, navigate. And, you know, I think if you ever think you're going to master it, you know, like, think again, because, you know, even creatively, it's just an incredible journey, you know, that's always evolving, and the business side of it is always evolving as well.
Do you still have the, you talk to blokes like Rocco Ancora, and, you know, he clearly is still sort of burnt by the passion, but do you still have the passion? Do you still want to, you know, go and take photos?
Yeah, definitely. I want to, and because, and I guess the same when I wrote that book, the reasons why I want to take those photos is because I have this connection of wanting to do something special for the clients. Some often what they won't see themselves. And again, it comes back to those, you know, connections. And I think that's what makes it always so special for me, and to be invited into someone's wedding and effectively into their lives. And how that is grown over the time has been quite special. Like, only last week I went to I did a newborn shoot of all things, and a family portrait, and it's because I'd photographed their wedding, but I'd also photographed their, you know, his brother's wedding before that, a few other people, their family. I also photographed the newborn shoot of their first daughter. And so, like, for me, it ends up being really quite special.
So you're part of the family, really, aren't
you? Yeah. I mean, and Chloe was emailing me probably about 6 to 8 weeks beforehand, saying, hey, just to give you a heads up, you know, this is the due date. We want to do a session, you know, that, you know, following week. And it's something, you know, pretty incredible and from a Studio Impressions Marcus Bell point of view, it doesn't really matter. What really matters is that connection, and I think that's what we've built, which ends up being pretty incredible.
That's a good answer, mate. I was just wondering how that all went, you know, but and I can understand that reasoning too, like having a team. And with our gallery, I never call it my gallery. It's always our gallery, because I've got a team as well, and it's not. It's just it's the girls that help in the gallery. That some will do my printing, and obviously some will do the sales. And my wife does everything, as she will tell you. You know, it is a team effort, which is what you need. And what tips do you have for people that aspire to do what you have done and want to achieve?
I think it really comes back to having a passion for it. And I mean, and I want to be careful, because passion isn't enough these days either. So I just don't want, you know, to encourage people, oh, if you've got passion, everything's going to be, you know, rosy.
Yeah.
But I think it's the building block that you need. And because the reason why I know this is that I worked in a bank for 8 years before I went out and did photography, you know, and there was no passion for me in a bank, you know. And it wasn't until I found that passion that I realized how hard I could easily work. So I don't ever feel like it's hard work as such. Even if you could do a 20-hour day, it's still not hard work, because you love doing it.
So it's not really working.
You're not conscious of it.
So in a way, like, you'd almost be doing this even if you weren't paid.
Exactly.
Wow.
But then, again, what's really important for people to know is that, you know, probably for the first 2 or 3 years, like, we weren't getting paid. I think it was probably like the third year into it, and we made a $20,000 loss. And my wife just said to me, you know what, Marcus, like, I know you love this, but she said, like, shit, if you don't change things around, like, you can't do it, you know? And that was the kick up the ass that I needed. And I then found someone that could help me from the business side. I mean, we were killing it back then, like, and we didn't even realize we were killing it back then, like, creatively, because we were so different. A lot of this stuff's in hindsight, you know, where, you know, we didn't know what we had, and from a, you know, how we could have marketed things differently and things, but what I did know that I needed was some help financially to understand how to make a business from this. And we got someone in to help us do that. And it, you know what, it was probably more being accountable than the guidance that we got. Because a lot of the guidance we already actually knew, you know, from the banking, that what that gave me a good sort of sense for business, you know, having that experience about customer service and all those aspects. So that was okay. It was just, I think being accountable and having someone that I had to report to each week and say, okay, this is what I've done. This is what I'm doing next week. This is what I've already planning for the next couple months. So I think that's the reality. And then I think too, like there was another period where we were just probably just really getting by. Like we were probably, I don't know, like we, when someone, like I was winning all these accolades and I remember a conversation where a very prominent photographer had this conversation and said, oh, wow, Marcus, you know, like, you know, you must be now winning way more than me. You know, I'm making about $800,000 a year. And I thought, and I said, I just said, oh yeah, of course, you know, and like thinking, oh my God, like they're making $800,000 a year. That's not even turnover. Where like it's funny, like 10 years later, people were so excited to be making a few hundred thousand dollars turnover, you know, and that wasn't even like, you know, the take home wage. Where, you know, and I think that's the thing that photographers need to understand. It's so good to be creative. It's so good to be artistic, but you also should be rewarded for what you put in.
Definitely.
As well. So, it, you know, thinking about that. And so I had to ask myself, okay, well, shit, someone else is earning $800,000 a year. How could I do that or even exceed that? And then we sort of started to have to creatively think from a business sense how we could start making that sort of dollars. I mean, I think it's probably harder these days to do that. But because I think what's happened to photography is like the mystery of photography's gone. I mean, you can take a picture on your phone and clients know it, you know, that they could edit an image on their phone. So where before that wasn't around. So there was like a mystery to what we did. And so we could, you know, earn good money.
I've got a question for you, Marcus.
Yeah.
If you had to go away on a photography trip, would you take Peter Eastway or Tony Hewitt?
Or neither.
Depends where we're going. I think, you know, if it was Patagonia, like I would have to take Peter Eastway. It's a place where I would absolutely love to go. But you know what? Like with what Tony shoots with those incredible aerials, like over WA, I'd have to go with Tony. So,
Yeah, well, see, I was hoping you'd just boil it down to personalities and, you know, you'd say, oh, you definitely take Tony because Peter's annoying. I thought you might say something like that, but obviously not.
No, well, Peter doesn't drink very often. So
no, he doesn't.
But that could be – so I'll probably go with Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
Marcus, can I just ask you, you know, you're into surfing and, you know, Christian and I, our local break is Margaret River. I'll probably head out there this afternoon just grab a couple of waves. Mate, do you take any ocean photography at all?
Well, funny enough, like we had a big swell come through just the other week and it was too big for me and my son to go out in. And so luckily that day I and it was a bit blown out as well. And so I took the camera along and then that was the first time for ages that I took some pictures and then like I showed my son and he goes, shit, that's really good. And so I posted one up on the Instagram of one of the, you know, the local guys down at Snapper. So so while you might have Margaret River, my local break Snapper. So
Yeah, right. Yeah, Snapper rocks. I mean, far out. What a that's a pretty awesome break.
Yeah,
it's so
right
good.
Up there.
Yeah, we don't have anything like that over this way, really. I mean, maybe up at Nalu might be there's some pretty heavy cool stuff there, but you know, Snapper just looks awesome. I've never surfed there. I used to surf a lot in my early day, but then photography became, I got that you know, when someone said, you know, you said someone kicked you up the ass to get you going, I had that as well. I was engaged to a girl and she said, look, you know, I'm not going to marry you unless you can provide a living for me. And so I dumped her and got my ass into gear anyway.
Kick it to the curb, mate. Seriously.
No, I didn't dump her. We kind of had a a mutual dumping.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, that was 25 or 26 or something like that.
Oh, you don't really care those days, do you?
The funny thing is that because, like, being at Snapper there and Kira, is that that's when I first picked up the camera, is that I would actually go down to the Kira Pro, and I was working for the bank, and I would take a few sickies and go photograph the Kira Pro. And I would actually do all these, you know, like, photos of the pro surfers. I would do portraits. So, you know, like from Sonny Garcia and, you know, even Kelly Slater was just when he first started. I've got all these portraits of him, all these legends, and obviously like a little bit of the surfing. But what I found, I think, was, you know, I was trying different things, you know, when I was learning the ropes of photography. And because I didn't let my gear, because I didn't have like a 300 or a 600 mil lens, you know, I wasn't able to do the surf action so much, but I could do the portraits and things like that with other things. And I sort of, that led me to photographing the Brisbane Lions AFL. And again, I wasn't able to photograph a lot of the action, but I was able to capture a lot of the atmosphere. And when I showed the club those images, they ended up buying so many of them because no one else had that sort of work. And it was sort of a benefit because it was just when they were changing their, I think it was from the Brisbane Bears or whatever to the Brisbane Lions. And so there was no other material. So yeah, it was hard to get action shots with because I didn't really have a long lens. But I was able to just do things differently, or, you know, with the work that, or the gear that I had. So it was cool.
Yeah. I'm just looking at your Instagram page now and saw that surf shot there. Good, mate. 218 likes so far, 7 comments.
Oh, have you liked it, Fletch? Did you like it?
I haven't liked it yet, but I better.
Yep.
I love those, the row of three contemporary images in the fog or dust or something. There's just people walking along, one on a crosswalk, and then there's someone walking through a field and someone walking on the edge of a road. You know those ones?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I love that sort of style. That's where my heart lies, that sort of real contemporary, minimalist, sort of banal scenes are just brilliant. Love that stuff. Hey, so what's coming up for you, mate? What's the future hold?
For me, it's looking exciting. I mean, it's been an interesting ride, obviously, with everything going on, and like literally no weddings at all. Like, we haven't you know, shot any weddings since February. So, and that, I guess, everything's been postponed. And so we've been just using the time to really explore, like, you know, who I am as a photographer and what I love about, you know, the creative side of things, and also the art side of what I do. And it's sort of really learning and understanding, you know, and delving into the images that, that I always seem to capture. But I'm hoping that the international travel will lift again soon, because I'm running out of duty-free alcohol. So we're sort of like getting down to the bare minimum, you know. So that was the nice thing about doing destination weddings, you know, coming back through duty-free. So,
All right.
First world problems.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess the weddings are, I mean, COVID has changed things for a lot of people. Definitely a lot of people that are doing workshops and you know, doing tours overseas and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It does make it difficult, but, you know, it is nice to change your focus and to try different things and work on your images to make them better and come out stronger when this is all past, you know. So
yeah, definitely. And so that's what we've been getting, like I said, doing some family portrait shoots as well, you know, and a few other things. So we're definitely keeping busy. But what I'm actually trying to do is just really apply my time into, I guess, being you know, a better photographer and you know, better artists, or very more of a conscious artist, I think, in what we do and what we can get to produce as photographers.
What gear are you using these days? I mean, Carmen's a Panasonic S1R boy, and I'm a I've got that as well, but I've also got the Leica system. What are you using these days?
Yeah. So I'm using the Nikon Z mirrorless and absolutely loving it. So like all my personal work or landscapes and things like that, you know, gets captured on the Z7. Mm. Generally, the weddings will get captured on the Z6. Mm. So, you know, I've been really enjoying it. You know, I think it's, you know, it's amazing where cameras are, you know, heading. You know, I think the mirrorless, like you guys said, with what you guys are using, it becomes really quite versatile. Mm. And there's some really cool features that we now get to use and play with. Mm.
Yeah. Can I just say, Fletch mentioned there that I'm a Panasonic S1R boy. I just want to say, I'm a Canon 5D Mark II boy at heart. we've asked some of the best photographers in the world this question, and I'm going to ask you, who is Marcus Bell?
Oh, mate, I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, I think that's the thing, is that like I've been sort of, growing and still trying to figure, you know, who that is. And I think that's what's nice, is that I probably won't ever figure it out. And I'll just keep doing what I, you know, on a pathway and see where things, you know, lead me and things like that.
Okay, so you haven't made up your mind yet who you are?
No.
No, that's fair. That's a fair answer.
Well, actually, it's quite interesting because we asked Rocco Ancora that question. And what did he say, Fletch?
I can't remember.
Well, he said,
I just wanted...
He said he's Batman.
I'm Batman. Yeah. It's so funny. My daughter's going through this goth stage at the moment, and she came out with these black eyes the other day, and she just looked like she had a Robin mask on, you know? So I call her Cat Girl. I'm Cat Girl.
I would imagine that went down well.
Yeah, I just couldn't stop laughing, and she goes... I can't remember what she said. I think it was derogatory, and I think the finger went up and all that, you know. it's kind of cool that she's trying to be different although she's not, because she's probably just copying what other goths are doing. But I like that individualness about her, and she's a creative girl, and she's got a lot of great qualities, and I think if she becomes an artist.
Maybe, she started listening to the podcast, Fletch. Is that?
I hope not.
She's been quite kind to her.
No, she definitely, because she calls me a boomer, even though I'm not a boomer. I'm
good one, boomer.
Two years short. I think 63 and back. You're a boomer, but I'm a 65. So, so I'm not a boomer. So take that, you know. And I know what TikTok is. I just think it's a waste of time. But anyway,
Look, the thing I've just got to say, with all these kids, you know, they call their parents boomers and all that sort of stuff. Mm. Mate, who do you reckon gives you money, like for your clothes and that sort of stuff? who supplies your food?
Yeah,
you know, go and get a job, then call your parents boomers.
All I need is like a when they message you, I just need like someone to give me some sort of like Urban Dictionary to, you know, what K means. Like
totes.
I worked it out, like, but like I thought, you know, you would use the O, K, O and K, you know, that was already short, and now like you only get a K.
Yeah, so. That's right. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to learn all these terms. My son says, "Chill out, stop." He goes, "Stop capping, Dad." Oh, you're capping. I'm going, what's capping? But I like it. You be capping, awesome. You be capping, Dad. It's like, all right, whatever. Okay. I'm learning so many different things. And one thing I love about the kids today is that they are so different to my generation, and that they're so sensitive to racism, sexism, homophobia, all these things that we have grown up with and I wouldn't say are acceptable, but have been part but these guys, and I'm really proud of the kids today. They stand up for injustice and things that they see, and they call it out. At least my kids do anyway. And I know a lot of other friends' kids do. So I've got a bit of hope that hopefully their generation will be a little bit, kinder to everyone and be more inclusive than we ever were. So
Yeah, I definitely see that trend changing, which is really great. And I guess too, because like you see that in the wedding industry with, you know, the changes the last few years with same-sex marriages and things like that. And it's been, you know, really, really exciting. I think it's funny because, like, you know, to our kids, they wouldn't have seen it ever as a problem.
But, yeah, that's right.
For whatever reason, there was a big challenge and you know, change for others that they needed to, you know, to adhere. But and I think the new generation coming through won't ever, you know, ever feel that way.
It's good.
Mike, it's, you know, a lot of people say now that there aren't the opportunities there possibly used to be when, you know, we started out in photography and that sort of stuff. But look, do you think that that's the case? And, you know, if that is the case, or, you know, an aspect of it might be true, what sort of message would you give the kids?
It's yes and no, like, to that answer, really, because doing probably the way we came through the ranks, it's sort of a hard, would be a hard yard. But this, to say that there's no opportunities, like, I don't think that's true. I think in everything, even now, like, you know, through COVID, you know, like, there is opportunities out there. You know, you just got to think differently and look at, you know, coming from a different perspective. You know, so, like, I think, you know, again, it comes back to, if you want to be someone, you know, and you have that passion, and I think we've got all this incredible technology. It's just embracing it and like getting ahead of the curve. And it was just probably, you know, exactly what all of us did. You know, we were ahead of the curve at that time. So it's probably hard to identify, for what that curve is. But as soon as you trying something different, and, you know, for someone, it's going to be so different, it will end up becoming really successful for that. So I still think there's a really great opportunity out there for, you know, in any field.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, it's been a pleasure talking to you this morning. Thanks for sharing your story with us. We love your work. You know, love who you are and what you stand for, and you know, wish you all the best going forward. But yeah, thanks again for your time.
Oh no, it's been really awesome to catch up with you guys and be invited. So thanks so much.
No worries. Cheers, mate.